the morning.
Blog Talk Radio. Some are small, some are big,
But whether these plans work or not, help me to always yield my heart to your purpose. Help me to see the ways that you are working when things are working out well, and especially when my plans fall apart. Whatever this year brings, I begin it with the intention of leaning into you. No matter what, today I join my dreams to yours and invite you into the nitty-gritty of the present moment. May my heart stay joined with yours through both the mundane and the changes that life brings. You are the Lord of my life. And the question is, as we start today, this New Year's Day, what would you like to see change this year? What would you like to see change this year? Something to think about as we go through our word. And the word of Genesis from our Know Your Bible. You got to know your Bible. And the word is this, not stated but traditionally attributed to Moses. Moses lived around the 1400s B.C., but the events of Genesis date to the very beginning of time. God created the world and chose a special people in 10 words or less. Genesis is contributed to Moses, and Moses lived around 1400 B.C., but the events of Genesis date to the very beginning of time. And some details, please. The Bible's first book never explains God. It simply assumes his existence. In the beginning, God, chapter 1 and 2, describe how God created the universe and everything in it simply by speaking. God said, and it was so. Humans, however, received special handling as God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And woman was crafted from a rib of man. Those first two people, Adam and Eve, live in perfection, but ruin paradise by disobeying God at the urging of a subtle, crafty serpent. We call him the sneaky snake. Since sin throws humans into a moral free fall, as the world's first child, Cain murders his brother Abel. People become so bad that God decides to flood the entire planet, saving only the righteous Noah, his family, and an ark boat full of animals. After the earth repopulates, God chooses a man named Abram as patriarch of a specially blessed people, later called Israel. After an alternative name, Abram's grandson, Jacob. Genesis ends with Jacob's son Joseph by a miraculous chain of events ruling in Egypt, setting up the events of the following book of Exodus. Some quotables from Genesis. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Whew. Scandalous. I'm going to go ahead and give overviews for all that we're going through today so that we can just continue in the word as we go forth. And the book of Psalm and Proverbs. Psalms, our Psalms this morning. The authors of Psalm are various and nearly half attributed to King David. Other names noted include Solomon, Moses, Asaph, Ethan, and the sons of Korah. Many Psalms don't mention an author. The date that Psalms was approximately written was 1400 B.C., Moses' time, through 500 B.C., the time of the Jews' Babylonian exile. In 10 words or less, ancient Jewish psalm book showcases prayers, praise, and complaints to God. So when we think about the Psalms, we think of prayers, praise, and complaints to God. Details, please. Over several centuries, God led various individuals to compose emotionally charged poems, of which 150 were later compiled into the book we know as Psalm. Many of the Psalms are described as of David, meaning they could be by far or about Israel's great king. Highlights of the book include the Shepherd Psalm, the 23rd, which describes God as a protector and provider. David's cry for forgiveness after his sin with Bathsheba, the 51st Psalm. Of praise, 100 is a powerful example. And the celebration of scripture found in the 119th, which almost all of the 176 verses makes some reference to God's law, statutes, commandments, precepts, word, and light. Some psalms called Katori call for God's judgment on enemies, Psalm 69:109, for example. Many psalms express agony of spirit on the writer's part, but nearly every psalm returns to the theme of praise to God. That's the way the book of Psalms ends. Let everything, and this is what Mother read actually on yesterday, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. 150th Psalm, verse 6. Quotables. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I love that psalm. That's the 8th Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. 23rd Psalm, verse 1. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. 51st Psalm, verse 10. Thy word have I laid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. 119th Psalm, verse 11. I will lift up, this is one of my favorites, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From which cometh my help cometh from the Lord. 121st Psalm, verses 1 through 2. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's our pastors. That's one of our favorites. 133rd Psalm, verse 1. Unique and unusual about our psalm, the book of Psalms is the Bible's longest in terms of both number of chapters, 150, and total word count. It contains the longest chapter in the Bible, the 119th Psalm, with 176 verses, and the shortest Psalm, the 117th Psalm, verse 2, with 2 verses. Psalm 117 is also the midpoint of the Protestant Bible, with 594 chapters before and 594 after. So what? The Psalms run the gamut of human emotions, which is why so many people turn to them in times of both joy and sadness. Proverbs, primarily Solomon chapter 1, verse 1, with sections attributed to the wise, 22 and 17, or girl 30 and 1, and King Lemuel, 31 and 1, which Mother read yesterday. Little is known of the latter two. The date. Solomon reigned approximately 970 to 930 B.C., the staff of King Hezekiah, who lived about 200 years later, copied out the latter chapters of the book we have today, chapter 25 and 1. In 10 words or less, piety, memorable sayings, encourage people to pursue wisdom. Details, please. Proverbs doesn't have a storyline. It's simply a collection of practical tips for living, mainly from the pen of King Solomon, the wisest human being ever. 1 Kings 3 and 12, God said, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. The proverb speaks to issues such as work, money, sex, temptation, drinking, laziness, discipline, and child rearing. Underlying each proverb is the truth that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1 and 7. Quotables, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Proverbs 3 and 5. And we know that's Mother Janice's favorite. Go to the ant that sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs 6 and 6. Oh, wise man maketh a glad father, but foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 10 and 11, 10 and 1, excuse me. as jewel of gold in a swan's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. 11:22. He that speaketh his soul hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteth him betimes. 13:24. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. 15:1. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. 16:3. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. 17:28. And I could go on. There's quite a few other scriptures, but I love this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. 27:6. And of course, 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Hallelujah. And it says this, the final chapter, the unusual and unique of Proverbs. The final chapter of Proverbs includes a long poem in praise of wives, rather unusual for that time and culture. And so what? Wisdom, as Proverbs 4:7 indicates, is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. If you need help with that, just ask God. James 1:15. And our Matthew, we got a lot of word coming up. And it says, not stated, but traditionally attributed to Matthew, a tax collector. Matthew is also known as Levi. Date approximately 70 AD, when Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. The 10 words or less, Jesus fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of coming Messiah. Details, please. 4 Gospels, meaning good news. The book of Matthew ties at what follows in the New Testament to what came before in the Old. The book, written primarily to a Jewish audience, uses numerous Old Testament references to prove that Jesus is the promised Messiah. The Jews have been anticipating for centuries, beginning with the genealogy that shows Jesus' ancestry through King David and the patriarch Abraham. Matthew then details the angelic announcement of Jesus' conception and the visit of the wise men with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew introduces the characters of John the Baptist, relative and forerunner of Jesus, and describes the calling of key disciples Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Jesus' teaching are emphasized with long passages covering his Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5-7, including the Beatitudes, blessed are they, and the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. As with all 4 Gospels, Matthew also details the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and is the only biographer of Jesus to mention several miracles, the tearing of the temple curtain, an earthquake, the breaking open of tombs, and the rising to life of dead saints that occurred during that time. And that's in chapter 27. Quotables, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And there's several more. And I love this one. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. 7:1. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. 7:7. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Chapter 28, verse 19. The unique and unusual about Matthew. Matthew is the only gospel to use the term church and kingdom of heaven. So what? As Messiah, Jesus is also king and worthy of our worship. Whew, that's a lot of words. And as we start, please join me in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. Whew, I get filled up. Of the deep, I'm sorry. I got carried away. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made, Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And just a quick life principle. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says that one of our greatest needs is to know that we are loved. Each one of us has to feel certain deep down in our hearts that someone loves us, cares for us, and has our best interest at heart. That is how God designed us. He wants us to know that he loved every one of us with a passionate intensity, too deep for words. God created human beings with fellowship in mind, first with himself and then with others. But we cannot fully love one another until we have ourselves experienced the love of God. We experience his love when we willingly surrender to his call to be our Savior, Lord, and friend. There are at least three reasons God seeks our surrender. Number one, if you'd like to get a pen and paper, he loves us and desires our fellowship and worship. So long as we hold something back from God, we cannot know him completely or fully experience his love. When we surrender to him, we get all of him. Number two, he wants our service to him to be effective and fruitful. The more we know and love Jesus, the more effective our service will be. The closer we draw to God, the more impact our lives will have. The more energetically we nurture our relationship with the Lord, and we will leave behind. And number three, he waits for the freedom to bless us. God is omnipotent, but he will not violate his own principles. He draws us to himself so we can experience his love and forgiveness. He asks for our willing surrender so that he can give us the best blessings he has to offer. So why resist? And one life lesson from Genesis chapter 1, again from verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. When God created us, he made us like himself. Therefore, we have the capacity for close personal fellowship with him. We can count on him to meet our need for deep personal connection. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. Genesis chapter 2.
Good morning, Miss Reese. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, saints of God. Good morning, creators of God. Chapter 2 of Genesis. Thus the heaven and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the days that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. There was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth, watered the whole face of the ground. Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden, eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight. The fruit tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pion, and then one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Belen and oxen stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. Is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. Name of the third river is Tadipo. It's the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every piece of the field, every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. And they were both naked. Man and his wife were not ashamed. You know, only God can make a man and a woman. I'm standing here and you standing there. And God is saying, man and woman shall become one flesh. Only God can do that. Man can't do that. This is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called one man because she was taken out of man. Wow. God is good all the time. Psalms 1:1-6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 1:1-7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment and etiquette, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb in a sigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord. He's telling you right there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He said, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. You know, that's not, oh, I'm so afraid of God, I'm scared of him. No. That's being, oh, awesome, he's wonderful, he's great. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To worship him. To know that he's great. He's a great God. He's a good God. God is all that. And some say, well, he's all that in a bag of chips. But God is just a good God. He's a wonderful God. It's not the clock, and I say this all the time. It's not the clock that wakes you up. It didn't wake me up at 4 o'clock this morning. God did.
Amen.
And started me on my day. It's God, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, and I praise him. I give him glory. I thank you, Lord. And if you can't say anything and can't think of prayers, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Give him the highest praise. The Bible says that that is the highest praise. So just say, get up in the morning or open your eyes and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. I praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then if you can, go back to sleep, go back to sleep. But if you have to get up, then get up. Mm-hmm. The Lord, move my feet. Open my eyes, which you've already done. He did it again. You know, it's just wonderful what God do and will do and have done. He will do it again and again and again and again.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
It's God.
Preach.
You have to know that you know that you know that you know that you know.
Mm.
And can nobody tell you anything?
Woo, glory.
It's God. It's God, Almighty God. who in the beginning made the heavens and the earth. God did all of this, and then he rested. He said, let there be light. God spoke. All we have to do is speak a thing, and it's going to come to pass. He said, let there be light. Let there be light. Oh, my God. Let the waters and the heavens be gathered together. It's God that did all this. It wasn't the Big Bang Theory. And then anyway, if it was the Big Bang, who started the Big Bang? It's God, people. It's God. He created the heavens and the earth. And he also created you. The potter cannot say to the clay, why did you create me this and so? It's God. And God is a father. He's kind and he's loving. He said, I have drawn you with loving kindness. And no matter what you do, no matter what, Moses was a killer. No matter what, God will forgive you if you repent. He'll forgive you and he will use you. He used Moses. Oh, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Yes, ma'am.
God is so good.
Ooh, Mom, and
no
did you give your Psalm and Proverb, your Proverb life lesson?
Proverbs, Psalm 1 and 3. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Psalms 1 and 3. Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord, and I talked about that, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
That's right.
When we start with the truth of God, his holiness, power, love, wisdom, goodness, we build on an unchanging reality that provides us with a firm foundation for life. We have to start off with God. We do. Genesis 2:25, they were both naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They weren't ashamed. God's intentions for us have always been a deep, unrestricted intimacy with him, with no walls between us. Sin have injured that intimacy. But when we see Jesus, it will be completely restored, 1 John 3:2. God wants us to be intimate with him, and he wants to fellowship one with another.
Amen.
I mean, they are naked in the garden. And they wasn't ashamed. No, because they were one flesh. They were one, man and wife. Now, you can't go and be naked with somebody else. But in this day and age, you can be naked with your husband because God considers you one. You are one. You're one flesh. And they were not ashamed. Why should you be ashamed when all of you, you both are one? God is so good. He's a good God. And we have to remember that regardless of what we go through, we have to hold on to the end. We can't serve God for 50 years and then next week and week after that act like hell on wheels. We can't do it. We have to hold on to the very last breath in our bodies. A lot of times we say, why, God? Why? Why me? Why? Why am I suffering?
And
why
God will answer you, Mother Valerie. Why not you? Why not you? And I can speak that because that's what he told me. When I had that moment in my life, when I was messed up from the flow up, and I said, why? Why me, God? I've done everything you asked me to do. Why? And God said, why not you? I got more for you to do. We can't ever ask God why, because God will answer you like he did Job. Why not you? Why not you? Woo! I'm getting filled up because I remember that. It scared me too. You hear a voice coming out of nowhere talking about why not you? Yeah. It gets your attention. Oh, God, but God is good. He's good all the time. And I loved when you said in your Psalm 1 and 3, it says, And Dr. Stanley says, what the psalm says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. And, you know, we used to sing this, I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. We don't want to be moved. We want to be moved by God. And it says, God loves to bless his obedience. There's that word, children. He moves us out ahead of them, preparing the way, bringing them into a good and pleasant place. He doesn't promise lack of trials, but he does promise eventual victory. And we read that on yesterday. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew lets you know who Jesus is. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah and Tamar. And I have my highlights are all these five women because they're all different and unique. Tamar, we know, basically pretended to be a prostitute because her father-in-law lied to her. Judah lied and said, when the youngest son got older, that he would give him to her, but he was afraid. He walked in fear that he would die, not understanding that his other two sons died because they was wicked and they went against God's word. But he wanted to blame her for it. And so he said, I got you. Lied. And so she dressed up like a prostitute and then made sure she took his stuff. Got his staff, got his belt, got his cord, said, okay. And then he was ready to come. She played the harlot. Now you expect this young woman who may want children not to be able to have any because she's sitting there waiting for your son that you're not going to give her. But then you want to go stone her because, I'm getting ready to go get her. And then when she said, okay, here, let me show you. This is who I had my stuff by. These are my baby's daddy. And it was him. He couldn't say nothing. And then she had Perez. She had her twins, but Perez was the one that's in the lineage of Christ. And he begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and we know who Boaz was. He was the husband. He was by Rahab. Now we know, let me go back. Boaz was Rahab, okay? And Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. And who was Rahab? Rahab was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She wasn't like Tamar pretending. She was the real deal. But God changed her life. She accepted the God of Israel as her God, just like she's going to find out down the road her daughter-in-law Ruth is going to do. She was in the city of Jericho. She helped the spies of God. She was in the time of Joshua, and she was powerful. She was a powerful woman. And so you got a pretend prostitute, a real prostitute in the lineage of Christ.
Amen.
And Boaz begot Obed, Ruth, by Ruth. Ruth, a Moabite woman who loved her mother-in-law enough to follow her and to change her faith, her religion, her family for her mother-in-law who loved her like a daughter. They were the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law that got along real good. I'm blessed to say I got along very well with my mother-in-law to the point where she sat me down and said, "You're going to call me mama." And that was it. And for all them years, that's what I called her, mama. And that's how she acted, like my mama. And as we continue in this lineage, so right now you got three powerful women. Powerful. Don't play women in the lineage of Christ. And then as we continue, it says, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Now, you know that's bad when you don't even get your name in the book. You get who you belong to. She belonged to Uriah. She was his wife. They didn't put in there Bathsheba the adulteress. Instead, they just left her name out. She was mentioned. But again, you know how adultery is with God. It was in the top 10. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Not only was, and also thou shalt not murder. David did all of that. But think about this. He was forgiven. He was forgiven. And he repented. So Bathsheba got her name in the book, in the lineage, but not by name. She got it by whose wife she was. By her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And we all know. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah. And his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abihud, Abihud, Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim. Akim begot Elud. Elud begot Elijah. Elijah begot Matthan, and Matthan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. So you got Tamar, all that in a bag of chips. You got Rahab, who just had, you know, hey, said, my family's not dying today. I'm going to love the God that they love because they God is pretty powerful. I'm going to help them so they can help us. She was not dumb. She was an entrepreneur in her own way, and she was not dumb. Come on now. Boaz was rich, all right? Grandma had something in her. Ruth, selfless. Bathsheba. I don't know what to say about Bathsheba, but whatever. She still was the mother of Solomon. You know, but again, I always say stuff about Bathsheba, but when you stop and think about it, she was a woman that had no power. She was a married woman, and she probably should have said, I'm married. My husband is faithful to you. Please don't do this. And he probably would not have. But she was probably one of those women of her time, like, whoa, the king asked for me? Oh, yeah, I'm there. The king's mistress, you were a wife of someone else. She is probably the one that stumbled the most. And Mary, innocent, 13, 14-year-old, having the Son of God. How powerful is that? And then it goes on to say, so all the generations from Abraham to David, and I want to go back to Mary, I just got to, verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Again, no Christmas without Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. But I want to go back to that, and it says, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn. Does it say that Joseph didn't know her at all? It does not. But there are denominations out there that teach that Mary stayed a virgin for the next however long she lived, 80 years, whatever, that she stayed a virgin, didn't have any more children, that Joseph was this old man, no, that's not what the Word of God says, does it? We got to go with the Word of God. Don't go with doctrine. Go and read the book yourself. Mary had other children. It is mentioned, and she's the mother of James and Jude. Aren't those her daughters over there with us? Isn't that what's said? Isn't that the carpenter's son? We got to understand. Don't go by stuff that you know is not right. Go by the Word of God. It did not say in here that he never had relations with his wife. It said he did not have relations with her until after she had delivered the Son of God. We got to read the Word. And it says this is some life lessons. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And I would like to, before we get any further, before we leave today, just give a shout out to Dr. Charles Stanley, who we lost on last year. We are coming out the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And whenever Mother and I talk about life lessons, life principles, what the Bible says, the commentary is Dr. Charles Stanley. And Amen. All I can say is he was a powerful man of God. May God rest his lovely soul, and may his ministry continue, because he was a great man. And he loved God. You can see it every time he stepped up to do a sermon. He always did it with such a humble loving spirit. You can feel it whenever he spoke. You just felt the presence of God. So I pray that you feel his presence with the words that we speak in our life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And it says in Matthew 1:18, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ can be our sinless sin bearer because he alone out of all the human his family was born without sin through the virgin birth. He could be both fully human and unstained by sin. She was a virgin, so you understand that birth was painful. She had never known a man, so the birth canal had never been opened. She went through some stuff, but I prayed that because it was the Son of God, that the pain was not as much as it would have been, because it was pain in birth and pain seeing her child die. So Mary went through some stuff. Folks want to say, oh, she was the Virgin Mary. She was a virgin when she had a baby, but she became a mother. And as a mother, she saw her child die and die in such a horrible, horrible way because a man, and the fact that he came through a perfect birth canal that had never been opened except by him. He came in a painful way, and he died in a painful way. And he did it all for us. As we go through this year, let us never forget that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all coming into the world, and he paid it all leaving it, because he was our Savior. Matthew 1:20, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Why didn't the angel Gabriel appear to Joseph when he appeared to Mary? We're not told. But God will always reveal his will to us however he sees fit. When we really want to know and do it. God is always there. And, you know, I was going through when my husband died. And God showed me in a dream my husband. And the place where he was someplace he always wanted. He loved water. He loved trees. He loved all of that. That's why I live in the wilderness. But, you know, he loved nature. And I remember dreaming about him. And then I read a book, and it's like, and I'm like, did I just dream of heaven? You know, it makes you wonder. And then I said, Lord, did I die? Did I die that night that I was allowed to enter and dream about him? Because I found out later I had sleep apnea, and in sleep apnea, you stop breathing, and you can die. I use a CPAP machine, but I know that it's God that keeps me breathing, because God kept me alive all these years, and I'm sure that it's God that will take me when it's my time. You know, but the fact of the matter is that I always wondered, did I die that night? And it was like, my husband was like, it ain't my time. It's not your time kind of thing. And then he looked at me and said, and you know, we should have more kids. And then what did he do? He sent me a daughter. And I know he did. First he sent me grandkids, and then he sent me the daughter. I got adopted by a four-year-old. And all I can say, the rest is history. And I am grateful for that adoption. I'm grateful for God blessing me with these children in my life. And I always laugh. I said, well, he said I needed to have more kids. And so he sent me. He sent them to me. And I'm grateful. So we got to thank God every day for the blessings that he gives us. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created us. And he created us in his image. Why? Because he loves us like that. And we should be grateful and thankful to know that we are blessed to be the sons and daughters of God, and that he has given us a new year. And as we go into a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and I thank God for her. She's been with me also with a word for all these years. She and Mother Rita have been with me since day one. And all I can say is thank you, God, for these awesome women of God who adopted me into their family. I should say, I did a sneak adoption and came in anyway. And then I adopted their mom, adopt my mom. So I did what my granddaughter did to me. I adopted my mother. So thanking God for the adoption. Thank you, Mother Valerie. And the word of God that Sister Carolyn sent us this morning, and I know it came from God, said this. Good morning. What is ahead of you is better than anything behind you. Keep pressing and pursuing. The best is yet to come. Have a manifesting Monday and a know you new year. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, I got to read that one more time. Good morning, family. I'm saying family. What is ahead of you is better than anything behind you. My pastor said we all get husbands this year. All us widows and I'm married. Hallelujah. And it says, keep pressing and pursuing. The best is yet to come. Have a manifesting Monday and a know you new year. Hallelujah. Look at God. Won't he do it? And I honestly can say, yes, he will. And I'm going to ask Mother Valerie to pray us out. But as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee. Whatever apps. One from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and glorious day, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Again, the best is yet to come. We're going to manifest what God has for us this year. Whatever you need, God will provide, and he wants us. Know you. Get to know yourself. Happy New Year, family. Mother Valerie, pray us out. Hallelujah. Praise Amen. The Lord.
Amen. Father God, we just thank and praise you for who you are. You did it again. I see the beginning of a sunrise, and it's gorgeous. God, you are a great God. You are great, and we need to praise you. And thank you for each and every day that you allow us to see the sunrise. Lord, bless us as we travel to the church, going to the church at 8 o'clock and be in your presence. Of course, we're in your presence right now.
Amen.
Wherever we go, you go. We pray for your spirit being inside of us. We just give you all honor, glory, and praise. Father God, encamp the ministers, angels of God, to be around us. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us anyhow. They keep us safe as we travel up and down the road. Take us from one destination and bring us